If you have your Bibles, invite you to take them and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We've been traveling together through this second epistle that many believe Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, which he did, but some scholars also believe that there are a couple other letters that he wrote to the Corinthian church that we don't have records. Some believe that the combo of a couple of those letters are kind of mixed in with 2 Corinthians, but we are looking at this letter and we've discovered together that this is a letter that Paul wrote that is very personal because he is, as we recall, he has been accused by the people of the church that he started that we don't really know if you're really an apostle or not. We don't know if you have the rights of an apostle, the authority of the apostle, the credentials of an apostle. And so Paul begins to, he was real concerned about this. Some scholars say that he shortened his trip when he was in Ephesus and he kind of left and immediately went to Corinth and dealt with some issues that he wrote about in 1 Corinthians and caused great pain for them. And he didn't want to come back to that congregation and cause great pain again. And so he writes this letter and you can see his heart throughout the writings here, but it's also inspired by the Holy Spirit because there are some truths that God wants us to have. He wants us to live this life on this planet Earth every moment of every day, every heartbeat, every second, filled with His Holy Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, experiencing the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, being able to stand up to the temptations of this world and the temptations, as the old King James Version might say, of the flesh, and say no to ungodliness in all its forms. Our society today is so confused about what godliness is and what ungodliness is. What holiness is and what is sinful. Oh, we can name the big ones, those big sins, can't we? We can name them. Oh, yeah, do not murder. We go down the Ten Commandments road. Do not covet. Do not commit adultery. We can do not place any idols in front of Almighty God, and yet we struggle with that sometimes when we are binging our favorite Netflix movie or watching our favorite tweeting on Facebook. We can't let go of that little idol called a smartphone. But God, in His mercy, has given us such a great gift that enables us, empowers us, encourages us to live life in the power of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels or jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is really not from us, it's from God. Hallelujah. And it is the light of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and the heart and the life of every believer. So if you profess Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, His Holy Spirit has moved in. He's taken up residence in your life, in your heart. Now, you might have Him move in the basement. You might have put Him in the hall closet, in the entryway of your home. You might have Him, maybe you were nice and you gave Him a guest room. You might have Him at the kitchen table. But the Holy Spirit has taken up residency in your life. And God's desire, God's will for every follower of Jesus is to be completely filled under the influence of His Holy Spirit. So that we're not influenced by Twitter. We're not influenced by Facebook. We're not influenced by YouTube. We're not influenced by CNN. We're not influenced by Fox News. We're not influenced by the President of the United States. We're not influenced by the leaders in this world. We're influenced by the Holy Spirit of God who teaches us and reflects to us all the truth from God's holy word about his holy son, Jesus Christ. We are influenced by Jesus Christ and his word. And we, having that light, that treasure in jars of clay, are able, hallelujah, because of his spirit in us, to live in the power of God, in the victory of God, moment by moment, day by day. So, translate it, that means this, that when I am tempted to cuss out my neighbor, because I don't like them or like what they're doing or how they're acting, but because I'm a child of God, I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, I can say no to that temptation and turn it into a prayer and say, Lord, bless them. May you free them from the curse of the tongue. May you help them to be liberated so that they will be set free, because he who has the Son, Jesus Christ, is free indeed. And sometimes we are so caught up with ourselves and our sin and our struggles that we lose sight that the Son of God has set us free. Hallelujah. And so therefore, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Paul was writing to those believers. He's saying, listen, you want credentials, you want the pedigree, you want, I can give that all to you. But he says, really, you are my living letter, because I've seen God work in your life. I've seen God work in your heart. I've seen God answer prayer, and you've established a fellowship in him. So you are my credentials. So he goes through and he talks about this treasure a little bit more in chapter 3 we looked at, and this treasure was really the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the glorious ministry that God has given to them in chapter 3. And this glory of the Holy Spirit within us, it doesn't fade. It's not a one and done deal, but it is lasting and permanent. And it reflects. And then he ends the chapter in chapter 3 in verse 18. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to transform you into the image of his Son? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to transform you, to change you, to be more like Jesus? Paul goes on and he says, therefore, this is a great verse, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Chapter 1. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You want to know one way to pray for those who are going, as Star Trek says, to go where no man has gone before, but in the sense of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have never heard the good news. You know how to pray for them? You pray that verse in verse 4. in their case, Lord, we pray that the God of this world will not blind their eyes anymore, will not blind their hearts anymore. But, oh, Holy Spirit, light of the world, work through your messengers, yours that are there on the grounds to send forth the truth of the light of the gospel that they may know Christ and see him. So that they can see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. God has given every one of us believers blessings. He's given you the blessing of salvation. He promises that. Jesus said, he who believes in me will have everlasting life. Eternal life. That's great. Don't hoard that gift. Don't hoard it. Don't say, well, man, God is treating me pretty special. I've got everlasting life. Therefore, that's good. I don't like that person over there, so I'm not going to tell them. No. Tell them and see what God does in their life. God may work in their life and transform their life and change their life. But he's also given us his mercy. The giving of God's mercy, the blessing of God's mercy empowers ministry. Verse 1 again of chapter 4, therefore having this ministry, we've received this ministry, we've been given this ministry by the mercy of God. God is the one that's going to do the empowering. He's going to do that. He's going to be our source of power. It's by his Spirit that we are able to do his work for his glory, his way. Ministry refers to that glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit that we said earlier. It lasts forever. It never perishes. It reveals Christ. It transforms believers into the image and likeness of his Son. God's Holy Spirit empowers believers to live and be like Jesus. You want to know how to live in the power of God in today's world? And again, it is being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's saying, I'm under God's influence. How do I get under God's influence? I need to get into God's Word. I need to take time to study it, meditate on it, read it. I need to treasure it in my heart, hide it in my heart that I will not sin against God. I need to memorize it. Well, you don't know, Pastor, about my memory. I can't remember a thing. I even forget what day it is. I even forget taking my medicine. I know that problem. I even forget where I put my coffee cup. So you're expecting me to memorize? Yes. Ask the Lord to help you memorize, even if it's a little verse. Verse 1, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. God, you've given us this ministry from you, so help me not to lose heart. Say it over and over again. Sometimes you can take verses and make an acronym out of them, and I've shared that so much. Philippians 4:8 is a verse that we as believers and even pre-believers need to saturate in their minds. Whatsoever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think on these things. We're so prone to think on anything except all that. James says about the tongue, we get off on praising God, and then the next moment we curse our neighbor. Ought not to be. God has given us his Holy Spirit. It empowers us to be filled with his Spirit, to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit. I like fruit. You like fruit? My dear friend Ben likes bananas. I love blueberries. Some of you know that. I love fruit. God has given us His Spirit to cultivate in our life fruit. His fruit is not necessarily strawberries, though that's excellent this time of year. His fruit is far better. Better, spiritually nutritious for you than your favorite earthly fruit. You know the fruit, Galatians 5. 22 and 23 talks about that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. First one is love, right? Love. Love. How is that? Is that abundance in your spiritual refrigerator? You open it up and you can see in that little drawer there, love. What's the second one? Joy. Love, joy. What's third one? Peace. Fourth one's a hard one. Patience, right? Love, joy, peace, patience. What's the fifth one, those of you who are brave? What is it? Kindness, yeah. Kindness. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I can't get along with this person. Why? Because I'm not abiding in you. I need your Holy Spirit to help me to show kindness. God is calling us to be empowered by His Holy Spirit, to cultivate in our lives by His Spirit fruit that lasts forever. We're so busy trying to satisfy ourselves and our flesh and bring comfort to ourselves that we don't even take the time to meet with Jesus in His Word, to allow His Word to be treasure in our hearts so that we can cultivate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. May the Lord help us. Second is God's blessing of His mercy, hallelujah, enables ministry. It does. It says there, through God's mercy, through, we're like that conduit. God is flowing through us. His living water. Wow. God's mercy, because of that, we have His mercy. God with His mercy, the easy reader version. ERV says this, God with His mercy gave us this work to do, so we don't give up. God in His mercy, because of His mercy, He's given us His gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, that was what Paul wrote earlier to these believers. He says there are varieties of gifts. In chapter 12, verse 4, he says, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. God enables us to do ministry His way for His glory when we are empowered by His Holy Spirit. In order for ministry to happen, I believe there needs to be a foundation laid And we see here it's from the mercy of God. In order for ministry to happen, there needs to be mercy. God's love and grace poured out in our hearts that we in turn are able to seek and serve others with God's love and compassion. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul later writes about that, that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. But he says that driving force, that enablement is Christ's love. He says, for Christ's love compels us. I'm able to do ministry for God because of his mercy. His mercy shown to me personally by forgiving me of all my past sins, all my present sins, all my future sins, cleansing me and changing me from the inside out so I no longer desire to grieve him because of the love he's shown to me. I no longer grieve him, but I want to please him. So I desire to do service and praise and love others with his love. It compels me. His love compels me. It motivates me to be like Jesus because of the transforming work that God has done in my life. Sometimes we forget of what God has done. Oh, we may rattle it off. God died on the cross for my sins. For God so loved the world, he gave his only one son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life. But have we really taken it to heart? Have we said, Lord, thank you for the gift you've given to me through your son dying on the cross, rising again, defeating death, hallelujah, and hell, and offering me the gift of everlasting life, that I may have a relationship with the Creator who spoke the world and the universe into being. And I do it by faith. Jesus said, he who believes in me. We do it by faith. And so, Lord, I am trusting in you, and I'm thanking you for that relationship that's been born. Help me to cultivate the relationship as you desire and continue to work in my life. His mercy has been shown. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, so we know that our life without the grace and mercy of God being shown to us through his Son, if we have never received Christ as our Savior and Lord, we know that we are outside his kingdom and we deserve the wages of death because of the sinful life. But Jesus paid the penalty in full and he gave his life so that we could be set free in him, be made righteous. We who were still sinful, be made righteous. What a miracle that is. The mercy of God poured out upon us through Christ. And he's given us a ministry for those of us who have been able to get into the Word and teach the Word and share the Word and share our testimony. What a privilege that is. He has gifted us to do that. And why? Not for fame or fortune. Why? Not that we could build little kingdoms around our names. No, his love compels us and moves us and motivates us. Maybe the reason that the church today is not growing is because we have forgotten the great love of God shown through his son Jesus Christ to us. And it no longer moves us. It no longer motivates us. It no longer takes us to the place where we say, yes, I've got to tell those who have never heard the good news about the good news of Jesus. May God move us and motivate us quickly, if that happens with Ted. Don't know, trying to fulfill Bob's words to us. Okay. Third, the blessing of God's mercy encourages ministry. It says here, so we will not what? Lose heart. We've been given this mercy of God, has been given to us, this ministry that we have, and therefore we won't lose heart. Who said this? The Apostle Paul. If anybody had an opportunity to be discouraged, defeated, depressed, down, and there were times for that, he was close to death. Sometimes he was killed and stoned, and God raised him back alive, and he went back in the city and shared his testimony with those. Paul says, we don't give up. We don't lose heart. We don't shrink back. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Why? Because he says there in Hebrews, the writer says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, he said in verse 35 of Hebrews 10. He says, for you had compassion in those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We do not lose heart. Why? Because we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We do not lose heart because we are faithful to the ministry that God has placed us in. We do not lose heart. We do not shrink back. Even though right now we may go through tough times, difficult times, we don't understand it. Maybe right now you are experiencing a place in your life where you are praying out to God, but it seems like all of heaven's doors are shut and he hasn't answered your prayers. Don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking. Persevere. God hears, and God answers at the perfect time. We are encouraged by his Holy Spirit because we know God's on the move. He is on the move, and he is still in control. The blessing of God's mercy embodies ministry. Verses 2 through 6, we really don't have time to develop all this. But let me say this, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you've really encountered God, guess what happens? You become a holy roller. No, far better. You become a reflection of Jesus Christ himself. It doesn't matter what people call you. Say to you, you're able to say no. Look what Paul said in verse 2. He says, there he says, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And so on. And then verse 5, he says, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Wow. He's saying, the Holy Spirit has taken up residency in me, and he's the one, by mercy, has given me this ministry. He embodies me, but he embodies this ministry. What is this that he does? He gives me that ability to say no to sin and unrighteousness and wickedness and yes to him. God does that if we're listening, if we're submissive, if we're surrendered, if we're filled with his Spirit. Listen to what Eugene Peterson said. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, We're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we're holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. All they have eyes for is the fashionable God of darkness. They think he can give them what they want, and they won't have to bother believing the truth. They can't see. They're stone blind to the day spring brightness of the message that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God we'll ever get. Remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ the Master. All we are is messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. We're living in difficult times. Our world is changing rapidly. Our communities are filled with darkness that is displayed in behavior that, for some of us, would be quite shocking. Some of us might be at this moment saying, "I'm going to throw up my hands and forget about the whole thing." But the Lord Jesus Christ has given you a gift, his precious Holy Spirit, this treasure that's in an earthen vessel, and he wants you to light up the darkness. He wants you to light up the darkness. He wants you to light up the darkness. Will you? Will you do it because of Christ's love compelling you? There are folks in our community in Zephyr Hills who desperately need to be free in Christ. They need Jesus. You may know some of them. They may be family members, distant cousins, neighbors, associates, strangers. I encourage you to be bold, to be courageous. Let the love of Christ saturate your soul to share with them the good news of Jesus. What is the Lord Jesus saying to you from his word today? Do I recognize God's mercy being given to me? Is his mercy a blessing in my life? Is God's mercy the foundation of serving him and doing ministry? Have I found myself growing weary and losing heart, and I need a fresh glimpse of him? Have I been relying on God's Spirit, or have I been relying on my strength? What would you like the Lord Jesus to do for you today? Let's pray. Father, we have been challenged by your word because the task before us that you've given to your disciples and your followers to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them in the name of Jesus, it's an overwhelming assignment. Because, Lord, some of us are still struggling to figure it out, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Some of us have stopped listening to your gentle voice speaking to us. So we've closed the good book, your word, thinking it doesn't matter. It's not relevant. It's not practical. Some of us have ignored your Holy Spirit wanting to change us and mold us like the potter and the clay to make us more like the beautiful image of your Son. And so we try to respond in our own flesh, and matters of our life get worse. Lord, we need you. We need the treasure that you've placed in us to be shining bright. We need you to rekindle the flame that you have once burned in our hearts. We need you to give us that boldness and the humility. For some of us, it may be saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. For others, it may be that we take the step and go to a brother and sister and say, forgive me. For others, it may be, Lord, I've ignored your call. I've ignored your prompting to share the gospel. And I need your empowerment to do so. I need your Holy Spirit to teach me to do so. Lord, you have given this world your only begotten Son. You've blessed us with the Holy Spirit. And you've given us the church, your bride, the ministry, and you're making us beautiful in you. So, Lord, we pray that you will fall fresh upon us as we sang that you will do it again. Do it again. Lord, I ask that you'll do it now. For this world desperately needs Christ. So move and work in us first, and then shine in us to others, we pray. And we'll thank you. And we give you glory. We ask this in your holy name.